Today we continue our series of messages about Brethren values. And since many of us will be spending the afternoon learning CPR or assembling health and hygiene kits as part of our Service to Humanity event, I thought it would be good to talk about leprosy and mildew this morning. After hearing these passages from Leviticus 11 through 14, you are probably wondering what a 3,000-year-old list of do's and do-nots has to do with the church today. Well, the first answer is that Jesus was Jewish, and so he would have followed all of those laws in Leviticus. Jesus often referred to the law in his teaching, and there are many places in the Gospels where Jesus says he's going to reveal the true meaning behind a law or a ritual or a ceremony. And the Gospel of Matthew, in particular, was written for a Jewish audience. And Matthew focuses on trying to show how Jesus fulfills the prophecies in the Old Testament. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus is quoted as saying, "He has come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." And so if we want to understand the context of the teachings of Jesus, we have to look back to the Old Testament. So before we get to that, I do have a few disclaimers. Okay, so first, you've probably heard that cleanliness is next to godliness. That is actually not in the Bible. So if you have some mold in your house, you don't need to bulldoze it this afternoon. Second, if you have a rash, I'm like 100% certain that Pastor Randy does not want you to show it to him. And third, if you happened to have roast hyrax for breakfast, you're in the clear because the New Testament says that the old food laws don't apply to us anymore. But there are some things that still do apply. And one of the things that has not gone away is the requirement that we be faithful to God's instructions for our lives. So for Brethren today, we would say that the New Testament is our guidebook for faithful living. For the Jewish people who lived before and during Jesus' time, Leviticus was their rulebook. The middle part of Leviticus that we had the excerpts from is often called the Mosaic Health Code, Mosaic meaning Moses. And that's because the instructions that God gave to Moses in those chapters were all about public health. So medicine focuses on fixing sick people, and public health tries to prevent groups of people from getting sick in the first place. And what's amazing to me as an epidemiologist is that even though the public health laws in Leviticus were implemented literally thousands of years before we had germ theory, right? 200 years ago, people did not understand like washing your hands is a good thing because germs was not part of their concept of the world. And so 2,000, 3,000 years ago, germs were definitely not part of the worldview, but these rules that are in Leviticus are actually really good at preventing massive outbreaks of communicable diseases. So the animals that are unclean in Leviticus are the ones that are the carnivores or the scavengers. Like, they're basically the garbage collectors of nature. They're the ones that are most likely to cause bacterial and parasitic diseases. The skin conditions that are described in very specific detail are the ones that are associated with leprosy, smallpox, measles, and scarlet fever. And what we see in those passages are that sick people who the priests say are threats to the community's health are forced into isolation or quarantine. But then the priests go back and look at them again, and if it looks like they're getting better, they're allowed to rejoin the community. So you would not have wanted to have leprosy back then, but most people who were temporarily banished were let back into the community, and their social isolation was temporary. And Leviticus also requires animal carcasses and wastes and moldy stuff to be burned outside the city, and it tells people that if you've got stuff on your body, you should wash your clothes carefully, and if you've got stuff in your homes, you should wash your homes. So we know today that all of those actions are critical for preventing the spread of infectious diseases. We look at this, and it makes scientific sense. But if you go back to when this was written, this would have just been crazy because it didn't fit with the way they understood the world. It didn't fit with anybody on earth at the time that Moses delivered those laws from God to his people. So Moses had grown up in Egypt, and Egypt had some of the most skilled physician priests anywhere in the world at the time. They were really good at doing a lot of medicine that we still do today. And Moses would have known a lot of those people because he grew up with the leaders of the country. None of those physicians in Egypt would have recommended any of the actions in Leviticus. They would have been seen as a huge waste of time. Like, that just wouldn't have made any sense. And it's interesting to me that Leviticus doesn't include any medical stuff from Egypt. So Moses wasn't writing down or conveying stuff he knew. This was very new. The stuff in Leviticus would have just confused the Israelites as much as it would have been weird to everybody else who saw them doing these strange behaviors. Now, it is true, though, that since the Israelites were following these public health rules and their neighbors were not, we can assume that they were unusually healthy and robust as a people. And it seems from the Old Testament that part of the reason God gave these rules to the Israelites was so that they would be unusually healthy and be seen by their neighbors in that way. In Exodus, God says, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians," or presumably on the Israelites when they were living in Egypt. And then in Deuteronomy, God says, "The Lord will remove from you all sickness. He will not lay upon you any of the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt." And he's not saying you'll never be sick with anything. The words for that, to put a disease upon people, is the way we talk about an epidemic. An epidemic in the origin of the word means things that fall upon the people. And so this is saying that you won't have these epidemics if you follow these commandments. But again, the Israelites weren't doing all these things in Leviticus because they would keep them healthy. They thought that disease was caused by sin or by curses. And Leviticus does give an answer to those causes of disease. It spells out in many, many chapters all the sacrifices that will atone for different types of sins. But the health rules were still ones that the people followed, not because they made sense, but because they were instructions from God. So the Mosaic Health Code required individuals to put the good of the community above their own personal comfort. And that's a pretty powerful thing to think about. It would have been possible for people to just hide their rashes under their cloaks. We've seen the storybook pictures. They were well covered. They didn't have to go showing their rashes off to everybody. And especially knowing that they could be banished if they did that. But they were faithful people, and so when they got a rash, they did what they were supposed to do, even if that meant that inspection would lead to being kicked out. It would have been possible for families with mold issues to just move the furniture over by that spot and cover it up and not risk having their homes demolished. But the rules of protecting the community meant that you show that to the priest and risk having your house torn down. And it would have been easier for hunters and fishers just to eat whatever they trapped or caught and not be getting rid of perfectly good creatures just because they were on the list of things you weren't supposed to eat. But being faithful meant not taking the easy route and avoiding animals that could carry disease. But those actions would have been selfish, and they would have put the community at risk. And so in the rules of Leviticus, faithfulness required looking beyond self and thinking about the good of the community as a whole. And that is a very brethren value. So, Leviticus, still relevant today. Anabaptists, like the brethren, tend to be very fond of the passage in Matthew 25 about separating the sheep and the goats. And if we read that passage that we're all familiar with a Leviticus lens, so if we read it with the perspective of the Jewish people Jesus would have actually been talking to when he said these words, we can see how Jesus is transforming the old law into something new. So instead of telling us what we can and cannot eat, Jesus transforms that by saying, feed the hungry, give the thirsty something to drink. Instead of saying that you need to wash or burn your soiled clothes, Jesus says, give clothes to people who need them. Instead of saying we should dismantle moldy homes, Jesus says, give shelter to the stranger. And Jesus says we should care for the sick and we should visit people in prison because they're also part of our community. And their well-being is necessary for the well-being of the community as a whole. And so in that context, we see that Jesus transforms the rules in Leviticus into a new code for faithful living in which we collectively build healthier communities by serving others. In some Christian denominations, there's a lot of debate over the theology of works and faith. For Brethren, that's just not a big point of contention. We would say that we are saved by grace, and we don't earn salvation by working for it. But we also believe that works are a natural extension of our faith and an expression of our faith. And so for Brethren, service is really a core part of our theology. The passage that was read earlier from 1 John says, we should love one another. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need and doesn't want to help them, how can the love of God be in that person? Let us love not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So in other words, if we have faith, we will want to serve other people. We will feel compelled to help people in need. And if we don't have that compassion, it's a sign that our hearts have not yet been transformed by the Holy Spirit. So Leviticus reminds us that God cares about our physical health and not just our spiritual well-being. But the more important message of Leviticus for today is that we should seek every day to lead a life that reflects a love of God and a love for our neighbors. In the Gospels, Jesus teaches us to apply the First Testament rules about food, clothing, and shelter in an era when we're no longer under these old laws, but we still have to follow the rule that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For Brethren today, the acts of service that are mentioned in 1 John are some of the key ways that we express the love of God that's within us. For Brethren, we live out our faith by giving food to our neighbors who are hungry, distributing coats and socks and blankets to our neighbors who are cold, helping provide shelter to our neighbors without homes, visiting our neighbors who are in the hospital or in prison, and even by learning CPR and first aid so that we can help our neighbors during times of crisis. Being a follower of Jesus means being committed to the health and welfare of our communities and extending compassion to all people as an expression of the love of God that exists within us. So it's not actually about mildew and leprosy. Leviticus is really about love. So, amen.